Nuked in the microwave here for a second. Any news today? Anything special happening?
Oh, the day's just started over here. I don't know.
Oh, okay. yeah, it looks like we've got a little Zephyr reversal, I think. It's like enough time has passed to sort of like do the lower end price discovery and everything. So things are looking good there. We'll talk about that a bit. I guess we'll wait for a little bit of a crowd to show up. If you guys want to retweet space and stuff, let's like get the word out on this one a little bit. The Doge situation, like I mentioned, is going well. I think we're in really good shape as far as like where Bitcoin is, where Doge is, where some of these other things are. Plenty of upside now. I think if you hadn't gotten yourself some Doge, it's probably the last bit of moments to grab some. I got a little bit at 22 cents by converting that Arrow token I had. I was like, for Arrow to make a 2x, I've got to get to like one and a half billion from like 750 million, which is doable. But at this point, Doge is like an easy 2x without even like blinking an eye. So I was like, let's just convert it. Just swapped it over, which is cool. Anyway, oh, hey, there's Bruce. We haven't spoken in a few days. Let me see if he's actually available too.
Hello, Charles.
How are you?
Charam Panchar.
Is that like a type of Chinese or something?
No, sir, I'm from Nepal.
Oh, Nepal. Okay, that's cool.
Yes, I'm a professional watchman.
Oh, you're a watchman? Like, what does that mean? Like, you're a security guard?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Are you, like, Buddhist there? Are you a communist?
No, sir. I'm not Buddhist. I'm a Nepali, sir.
Like a communist, then. That's cool.
No, sir. Not communist. We are Nepalese, and we are, sir, watchman, sir.
Nice. A professional watchman from Nepal. Cool.
I have a question. Which crypto should I buy?
Oh, yeah. For Nepalese watchmen, yeah, probably Zephyr. That's Zeph. You can get it from Nepal on MEXC. So you'll be good. You'll be good to go, man. Oh, by the way, have you ever considered moving to Hawaii?
No, sir. We are, sir, living in Nepal. We just love Nepal so much. There is an earthquake happened, sir, last year. Sir, our house gone broken, and we don't have any house to keep right now. So we are going India and Maldives. And wherever we go, we get jobs like watchman and gatekeeper like this.
That's nice. So, besides the Nepali here, Drew, what are you up to, man?
Not too much, man. Just working. But a little curious if that's Bikram or not.
You're a little curious? You're a little curious. That's a Nepalese watchman, Drew.
It's Bikram.
Bruce, good evening. What are you doing?
Highly recommend that you put a better title than just Zeph. I know you're desperate to pump your bags, but it's not interesting to many people.
That's okay. It's at the bottom, so this is a good time to pump it. It's a good, like, you know, it's when people don't get wrecked.
What if it keeps going down to zero?
Yeah, it's not going to go to zero. It's fine.
What if this is the top?
Now is the time to, like, unload your life savings into it, probably. It's funny, between the two of us, we could, like, we could probably send this thing to, like, $400. it may not last long, but we could definitely pump it quite easily. It's really illiquid. It moves very easily.
Well, Coach Bruce is the one who took us to 50K.
I mean, from my personal opinion is, so long as the Zef community gives me compliments and praises, then I'll talk about it. If not, then I'm not going to talk about it.
I have to keep myself from buying any extra because, like, it's just not liquid enough to be buying too much, basically. You have to keep it. You want to have a lot of small users on this sort of thing. You just can't put any, like, you can't go in with scale or something. It just doesn't make any sense. You'll wind up being the only owner of the thing. It doesn't make sense at all. Anyway, you want to be like sub 1% somewhere for sure.
But nobody will ever know.
They won't, but at the same time, if you had to ever sell it for some reason, you'd know, right? Because you don't have any, there's no liquidity to sell into either at that point. So it's better to have it like a small bag and it grow much bigger than it is to just go too big on something like this right now, which is fine. You know, like for most people, it'll be fine. But for anybody that's new, it's basically like the top was at $50 or so, 51 or something. And now we're at about 16 or 17. And so it's actually below like somewhere below like 200-day moving average type member. Actually, I don't think it's been out for 200 days, so it may not have a 200-day moving average. Anyway, but it's kind of dipped below its 50-day. So it's pretty much like buy territory. And this chart looks exactly the same as like a Bitcoin 2018, 2019, 2020 style chart where you have basically two like bottoming events. And then this most recent one looks like it's going to be a higher low from the previous one, which was like $10. Now we bottomed out at like 14. And then once, you know, you kind of like establish some bottom somewhere, then people just start buying. And like, you just have to assume that's going to happen. Given such efficient time. A lot of these proof of work people that are in Zephyr and Bitcoin and such, these are serious people. So they're usually going to wait for really, like, they're used to having their coins go to zero, and not zero, but, you know, like go into like the netherworld, you know? So they're likely to basically wait. But then when the price starts going up, they're like, Oh my God, I missed the bottom or whatever. And then they start jumping in and then things can go straight up. Plus, we have enough people in it now that, like, things start moving again. You know, the YouTube videos and whatever will start to chime up and string up. And then, you know, everything will go crazy again at some point. But I think, like, all the microcaps are behaving this way, too. So I think it's a cyclical thing as well. Like, I think now, this next few weeks, it's all about, like, old school layer ones, like Doge, Ethereum, proof of work coins. Everything's sort of climbing. And then at some point, there'll be a, like, people feel rich again or whatever, and then they'll start, you know, jumping into microcaps and pump that again. So each time BTC and ETH and all this stuff goes up, you know, you'll have like a new amount of money that people will be able to go either sell that or borrow off and then go pump the microcaps. And it's kind of like typical stuff. So the same thing, like if you look at like October, November, the microcaps and shit pumped, things like Kujira and everything pretty much pumped October, November, December, right around then, right? And that's because basically BTC had run up, there's plenty of liquidity in the space, and then people just start gambling. So the microcaps, that's just what it is. But so since Zephyr is only at 50 million market cap, the difference is that, so last time when the price went to $52, the circulating supply was only like, what was it, like 1.2 million coins or something? And now the circulating supply is like 3 million coins or something along those lines. So there's actually quite a bit more supply out there. So these conspiracies of like, oh no, it's the devs selling, or maybe where people are dumping or whales are dumping. Who the fuck knows? No one knows really. But the reality is there's twice the supply out there. And that's expected. It's like, you know, it's good that the hash rate is high and that the network is secure. But the flip side is that is the hash rate is higher than it needs to be to secure the network at this small valuation. And basically, a bunch of people are minting tokens that they can sell. But I think most people who are going to bother mining something like Zephyr are more likely to hodl it, not sell it on the general market, because number one, if the total supply was actually being sold in any meaningful way, the market cap would be way lower than this. So like if you go and try to sell on or buy on with Zephyr, if you just like try to make a $10,000 buy, for example, you'll move the price like several dollars and stuff. So it's a fairly illiquid thing. And if there was a bunch of dumping, you would notice it. So I don't think there is. I think most of the miners respect miners. And I think a lot of people who are mining it are going to be mining it for like a Monero style market cap, 2-3 billion, and you just have to wait. So Monero was just like this back in those days too. Like, you know, a year or something goes by and it just sort of hangs around and then eventually starts to climb at some point. So I think it's like, we're early enough. It doesn't really matter exactly how long it takes. It'll, you know, these things will get there. I think when the price dropped, you'll notice that the hash rate also dropped. So that some of the popularity of hashing is because people get excited about it because they feel like their ROI is better. But even if there was like selling, like let's say some of the miners sold and this price represents some distribution, that's good too, because then that means the coin is in more people's hands than just miners. And that's fine as well. So like you want the token to be mined and distributed over time so that you don't have nearly as much, you know, token centralization. You want little minnows to keep biting on this thing and keep buying some coins, stuffing them in their wallets. It's fine, no big deal. But it's still like the most popular coin on hash.io or whatever. What's it called? HiveOS, I'm sorry. So HiveOS is like this app where you can basically load up a miner really easily on a hardware device. And it's so far Zephyr's the most popular mined coin within that ecosystem or whatever of all the different proof of work coins that they service, which is cool. So definitely people are finding this interesting to the extent that they're hashing it more than anything else out there at this market cap and at this size. And I think that's like a really bullish thing. It's like all those people, all those miners, whether it's individual miners or whatever, that's just coins going into tons of different wallets and distributing. So what's nice about this particular algorithm is with RandomX, like you could be just anybody and just mine it on your computer, which is nice because that helps decentralization. If you had to have an ASIC type device, the problem with that is that only some people are going to be willing to buy that shit. And that centralizes the supply and all that. So this is good. Like, it's fine. That Zephyr swap thing, so there's a swapping site that people are trying to create. We'll see when that gets released. I think it's going to have relatively low liquidity coming out early on. The low liquidity from that is going to make it probably not that useful in the beginning, except for some small transactions. But hopefully over time, once they figure out how secure that platform is, if they can do a good job building it, then you can get some transactions with Tether to Zephyr. You'll be able to get things like Bitcoin or Doge or whatever. They're going to come up with some different coins for you to swap out of those. So you can have more places to buy Zephyr than simply centralized exchanges. The recent like KuCoin lawsuit or whatever it is by the SEC against the founders of KuCoin, or they're trying to do like criminal proceedings with them because they've got a lot of US users without KYC. I suppose that kind of shit can go down with Mexi as well. So you want coins to be on more exchanges, Zephyr in particular. It'd be nice if we can get Zephyr on like Kraken, for example, because technically speaking, privacy coins are not illegal in the US. So it'd be nice if Kraken took up the reins and went ahead and listed it. That'd be awesome. So if we can get a Kraken, if you guys tag the Kraken exchange to list Zephyr, that'd be appreciated. So just like spam them from time to time. Please list Zephyr protocol or whatever. And they're pretty good about listing proof of work type things. So it's pretty nicely fair launch token actually. So now that the supply is like over 3 million, I think the initial developer supply was like 500,000 coins. 500 million. So the total supply is like 18 billion-ish plus tail emissions.
I think 500 million went to the, was like a dev pre-mine. And then now we're up to like almost 3.5 million coins. So as time goes on and more of it's mined, the relative proportion that the devs have is getting smaller and smaller, which is great. So I think that's a good thing. The proportion is less than like how much Satoshi has, for example, of Bitcoin or whatever. So that's not a bad proportionality. If you think about like Chainlink, for example, I think like 45% of the coins are held by the Chainlink company or Sergey or whoever else. So a lot of these DeFi coins usually have much worse tokenomics than Zephyr does. So I think the launch and the coin distribution is quite fair. And it's a fairness that is reflected in people that are serious about crypto, people that are serious about adoption. So I think everything about the way that Zephyr is organized makes me feel like this is a group of people that like are serious about what they're doing. And that's really cool. Anyway, Bruce changed the title here and then ran away. Like, let's re-change it back, Zephyr to the moon. Anyway, but yeah, so the argument for why Zephyr is like a fairly reasonable, 20x plus from here. So right now, Zephyr is in the 55 million market cap, something like that. And, you know, a 20x is approximately a 1 billion market cap. In a bull market, microcaps in the top 1,000, many coins reach a billion market cap. I'm not talking about just Zephyr, just like anything, any piece of shit coin. Useless project, you name it. When Total 3 starts pumping, pretty much anything can run. So I think there's plenty of room for upside for Zephyr. And I've said this since like, you know, when we were in this since November, there's plenty of time. And I think like the microcap rotation will come back and people get excited and pump it again. From here at a $16 valuation or $17, I mean, we're really like, you know, we have like a 3 or 4x just to get to, just to get to the $50 previous all-time high. Now, granted, the supply is higher, so it does take more money to move that needle a little bit. But still, getting back to prior high is pretty feasible. The chart now looks like it's bottoming out. You have the 50-day moving average sort of curling upwards again, or at least like slowing down in terms of downtrend. And I think we like had like 5 or 6 taps to the 50-day moving average like already. So usually when you see that kind of activity, eventually the tide turns and you get a shift in momentum. Like I said before, like people that are buying Zephyr are generally crypto native, serious crypto people. So they're going to have a tendency to want to buy like extreme bottoms. And therefore it's not a surprise that it retraces aggressively. It's just par for the course, I would say. Cause like the top was like $52, the bottom was like 10. So it was about an 80% retracement or so, or I think it went down to 85% retracement in total, which is pretty typical for crypto. So it's fine for a first cycle. So it's kind of like its first cycle pump is what that was.
Hey, I have a question for you.
McLovin, what is your question?
Yes. Like, you know, I'm a kind of badass guy, you know, and my reputation is not that good. And is there any possibility for a guy like I drink too much alcohol, booze, you know? So is there any possibility to become Zephyr ambassador from a guy from Hawaii? I applied for this post.
You are exactly the type of people the Zephyr community needs.
I don't know. I think they're looking more for the Nepalese watchman
type. McLovin, do you commit crimes?
I am kind of a badass and I didn't commit any crime besides, you know, changing some iCard and different type of things. iCard is not a crime, you know, fake iCard.
What is that? Was that like a library card? What is that?
Yeah. It's kind of entry card, you know, for buying liquor from liquor store, you know?
Yeah. Where are you now? Are you at a bar? In Hawaii?
Yeah, I'm in bar, you know. I use my iCard and I get entry to the bar.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Zephyr will help you commit various crimes if you'd like, you know.
I'm not advocating for it, but like if that's what it takes to get your drink on, I mean, you know, I don't want you to have go into withdrawals. That could be dangerous, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
I seriously applied for the Zephyr ambassador programs, and I see 5 and 6 good ambassadors. You know, they are really technological and they are really good, and their ambassador program is really live. And Zephyr, I also joined this.
What does a Zephyr ambassador do? Are you going to go on like their Discord and start irritating everybody, or what?
Yes, I go to the Discord and I say hi, and nobody reply. You know. And the group is totally silent, and I don't know.
You think they don't like you? Maybe they don't like Hawaiians.
No, I think that group is, you know, purely, you know, science based. You know, that like MIT student or something like that. They are not like we stupid dumbass cryptocurrency trader, and we just, you know, they go to the group. Hey, hi, hello, Wayne Moon, something like that. And this community is different, you know. They are talking about
that. You're saying they don't have like retard energy.
No, they don't have like crypto energy. They have like cool science nerdy bullshit, you know, cool kind of mechanism and nerdy sheets. And I don't understand everything, anything from their group. And they are talking about some kind of mechanism, you know.
So you loaded your bags with Zeph like 100%, huh?
Yes, I just want to see what you say. You know, there is possibility for become an ambassador and create some memes, pump this token, and you know, this is important. Also, the memes is also important. You cannot, you know, stay like, you know, only kind of intelligent like a university or something like that. You know, crypto is like arts and entertainment, you know. It's not,
yeah, like fully... what you should do is create like maybe an advertisement on Instagram, like, you know, where you're trying to sell, like, say for example, a missile launcher, but you, yes, accept Zephyr. You accept Zephyr as payment.
Yes, I think Zephyr community is more like education, and it's like, you know, science and technology, and it's not like, you know, the arts and entertainment world. You know, we are mostly crypto industries. We are mostly like arts and entertainment, you know, like the coins, we create memes, and that's why the meme coin works, because it's, yeah, entertaining.
So you need to like turn Zephyr into a meme coin. It's that simple.
No, then not turning Zephyr into the meme coins, but you know, there is different directions for promoting a coin. You can promote a good technological coin or good product into meme. Like, meme is a universal language. It can connect every kind of community into a singular place. You know?
You think maybe it'd work out if we change the mascot to a dog?
No, not like that. But
what about like a
like that doesn't mean that meme means, you know, you have to mascot like dogs or something. You can be funny, use funny things or use funny videos or something like that.
Like that, like, is maybe the, like a monkey like spinning around with a hula hoop or something.
Or something like that. You know, the you know, some humor. You have to put some humor to advertise any kind of product, you know. You cannot stay something like that, you know, the quantum theory or something like that. You cannot promote these things, and you cannot connect with this type of complex theories. You cannot connect with people. Mostly people are, you know, dumb as idiots, and you cannot connect with quantum theories. You have to be some easy way. You have to find some easy way to connect people.
Okay.
Hey, Bikram, could you bring the Nepalese watchman back?
I couldn't understand what the Nepalese watchman was saying, even.
Could you bring him back and ease up on his accent a little bit? Just let him sound Indian.
I think the Nepalese more or less sound Indian. I went to a Nepalese restaurant once or twice. It's just basically Indian food.
I don't have any idea about Nepal or India.
They basically live in paneer and shit, like just like everybody else.
Yes, I basically live in Hawaii, you know. So I have no idea.
Now that the music started again, I'm convinced.
It took that to convince you, Drew.
Absolutely.
Anyway, in other news, I think like with Zephyr, all everyone has to do is just tag every crypto PR person on the planet and just keep like mentioning Zep over and over again, which is what most of us have been doing. Like, you know, what is that guy named? Like Ryan Adams or whatever his name was, or different people. You just keep like, anytime someone says something about privacy or whatever, you just basically talk about Zephyr, and people slowly like latch onto it. Just takes time. The more times people see something, the more like legitimate it becomes in their mind. So it's purely a function of like brand value. You just have to keep mentioning it again and again and again.
Bikram has a point there, right? I mean, it's like when it comes to these technical things, like try to explain someone what's ring signature and how this shit works. It's like people fade out straight away. It's
oh, like yeah. Like pretty much like that's why the title is just Zep to the Moon. Like there's no good reason to discuss like technology and shit. People can figure that shit out later once they're bag moons.
That's what they do anyway. Also a little bit impatient with the pace. It is par for the course, but even I'm feeling that. So I'm way overexposed, right? And I'm looking at half of my portfolio, which is not Zep. And it's done a nice little move here, but Zephyr is, you know, it's still stagnating a little bit. And I think that's how a lot of people are feeling after buying in the 20, 30, you know, $40 marks.
The small caps are always like that, though. I have a variety of small caps whose charts look exactly like Zep, though. So it really just depends on when you jumped in. And like the small cap rotation, when it runs, you know how these things run. Jesus, like, they'll do 10x's in no time. So you'll a week will go by and you're like, oh shit, look what just happened. So you just have to be positioned for it, that's all. What's the market cap rank now? Let's see. We're at 702, which is a good place. Anything in the top 1,000 really is a good place to be heading into this type of market where total three charts taking off. Because when the microcap rotation comes, people really don't give a fuck what coin they're buying. That's the truth. They'll just go down the list and just start picking stuff and just buying little bits of each thing. Or they'll just log into their exchanges or whatever, and whatever hasn't moved, they'll pick that and grab some. But when liquidity shows up, it just shows up just randomly, honestly. You don't have to even worry about like which coin is what. So right now, like all you need to do is get name recognition in people's eyes. They see the ticker over and over and over again. They're like, oh, wait, this is something people care about. Oh, look, it's in the top 1,000. People care about this. And then it just goes up from there. But also, it just needed to, like, it needed to put in a couple of bottoms on the chart. And so now that we have, like, a long time frame, double bottom, you know, people are going to be willing to jump in with greater size the longer you have a clear picture that, like, the accumulation phase or whatever is over and, that, like, the downside risk is, like, mitigated. So there's also an element of right now, as Bitcoin runs past high, there's this idea that, well, I can make a guaranteed income if I get Bitcoin, or I can get a guaranteed income if I pick one of these layer ones that's pumping. So these things have a cycle to them. And the thing is, you want to be positioned in the thing that's going to move before it moves, and then just wait. So for example, when we bought Doge earlier, like, I'm not saying go and necessarily go buy it now. The herd is going to come pump the shit out of that soon enough. But the point was to get in before that happened. And the same thing is true of Zephyr. Now is a good time where the price is down. If someone wants to get some, they're in good shape. And then they just have to wait. And then how long you wait is just whatever. Like, I mean, shit. Like, I waited 2 years for fucking Chainlink to do a 3X or something. So clearly, you know, like, it's it depends. Everything just takes its time. But in a bull market, usually it's not nearly that long. It's just that we haven't seen a small cap revival again since October, Drew. Like, the bottom line is everything has pulled back, and very little in the small caps is moving aggressively that I've seen.
You know why I think Ceph is actually a good bet on the market? It's basically there's enough demand from people to move their coins through a tool that's obfuscating their trails, right? It's something that this market particularly welcomes. And we soon have this DEX coming up online. And this is kind of the thing which really pumped Rune, right? Do you remember when in autumn, for no particular reason, they got to get cash flows and they burned a lot of Rune tokens and everyone was looking at that. Whatever happened there, whoever was swapping these things, who cares, right? But I think we will see something similar. Just imagine we get like a tenth of these flows coming into Zeph. You know, this will be crazy volume for the, let's say, even, I don't want to call it an ecosystem, you know, but if you really can show people that there's funds flowing through the system.
Yeah, Noob, I tend to agree with that, though. And I really like, you know, Zephyr Swap's effort, but I still think that there has to be something a little bit more like a Thorchain DEX like Sarai. I know I keep harping on that. I'm sure it's annoying, but I seriously feel like that's maybe the ticket. Something that's difficult to shut down, is more decentralized, and lets you swap across chains a little bit easier instead of wrapped pairs.
I agree, but you just have to have someone put effort and money down to get that going, right? So if this is the first step, this DEX, and it's proven to attract the traffic volume, like exchange volume, you will find people that are happy to actually put down money, put their backs into getting a complete decentralized platform online, right? But it's just an investment and it takes time. I think it's just a money question, not so much a time question. So you need to have at least...
The other thing, Drew, is to make a true DEX with the privacy, with the ring signature, is not straightforward. So that tech has not been proven yet. Fundamentally, so that's part of the issue as well. So we'll see, and even Sarai, I don't know if they've like,
they haven't launched. No,
they haven't definitively committed. They haven't definitively committed to anything. I heard some of them speak at a Twitter Spaces.
Yeah,
the dude is pretty pretty nerdy. He didn't speak about Zeph specifically on that one.
He did not. It was entirely about Monero. Yeah, I listened to. And it makes me wonder if they're going to be too late for this bull run as well. You know, I mean, it seems like it's pretty slow going. I don't think they have a particularly large team of devs working on it.
It depends too. Like, are we going to, is it this cycle that we're going to have like this super cycle type behavior? A super cycle would be a scenario where you don't actually get as deep of a bear market again, and things just kind of more slowly move up into the right over time. I'm not sure if that's the kind of season we're in yet, but that eventually happens to most markets. Not, you know, like as they mature, that's what happens. But I think what you'll have more and more is maybe, as BTC retracements become less deep, maybe like the depth of bear markets does not get as deep, especially for some of the larger cap or mid cap type coins. So we might not have as much of a drawdown this time, and hopefully not as much drawdown on attention too. Like people just disappear and don't show up again, you know, like during a full bear market.
Yeah, FTX, for example, was pretty bad. It'd be nice to not have a repeat of that. You know, my boss and coworkers all came in.
Do you guys know Do One?
Yeah, Do Kwon. Yeah,
he take my money.
He kept your money. Yeah, he kept all our money.
Yes, sir. He kept our money.
Hey, Bikram, thanks for bringing him back, but ease up just a little bit on the accent.
I Anyway, yeah, these DEXs and things, like, remember these microcaps, like there's so many microcap coins that do fine and they're not in any of these things. So the idea that it's necessary is just not the case. Like you could definitely go to much higher market caps. Take, for example, let me look, what happened to Alephium? That was kind of a layer one that was kind of a bit popular here lately. It started out similarly. Let's see, what's market cap now? It's about 200 million. It was up to, I think, 500, and it's pulled back a lot. So it the price of it ran to, like, let me see, I think 381, and now it's at 272. So it's done a fair amount of a pullback here. But yeah, it was something like 350 million market cap or something. I can't remember, but the point is, it's not on a whole bunch of different little DEXs either. It's only on various small exchanges like MEXC. So it's really about, like, just, you know, getting a bigger audience, you know, growing the community, the size of the owners of the coins and all of that. It just takes time. I mentioned this right from the beginning, though. Privacy is not one of those narratives that people care as much about. In the history of crypto, like, what we know for sure is everyone wants to be a slave, like, because if that were not the case, they wouldn't embrace a non-privacy system as a core system. But what we know in actual practice is like 95% of people don't care about privacy.
If people want privacy, then why they didn't hire Watchmen? You know?
Good question, yeah. They really should have hired you guys. But so basically, like, the market generally doesn't price privacy with very much premium. It never has. Like, look at Zcash, look at Dash, look at Monero. All these get to like 500 million to 3 billion market cap ranges, or I think some of them went even to 10 billion briefly, but then pulled back. So if you look at the entire totality of crypto, I mean, if Monero is only, you know, a $2 or $3 billion market cap, for example, that just gives you an idea. And that's been around since like 2014 or something. So that just gives you an idea of, like, where the community, the crypto community at large, what they care about, and what they don't care about is their own privacy. So, like, that's kind of a funny thing, but basically true. You'll notice that, like, almost nobody discusses their desire for privacy in crypto at all on any regular basis. Vast majority of people in crypto, like probably 95%, are here for number go up, right? Like, why do I buy Dogecoin? It's because it's like the number go up coin. That's the reason why. I bought it because other people are going to buy it. It's that simple. But I didn't buy it for any technological, you know, perspective or privacy or anything else. So this is true generally of utility tokens in general. Like, any coin that's meant to serve a very specific purpose has its, like, total audience capped by that, people that care about that specific purpose. The more generalizable the purpose of a coin is, you know, that then, you know, and the easier it is to shill to a bunch of people without complicated discussions about what it is, the better off you are. So, like, like, the Zephyr community should, like, pitch AI as, like, Zephyr as the sort of, like, AI coin that AI would use, because you're going to use it for AI transactions for privacy purposes, so people can't tell, you know, who the AI is going to kill or manipulate or whatever. So, like, you know, it has nothing to do with, like if you say the word privacy, people are like, huh, okay, whatever. Like, it just behave in a ho-hum way, like they don't care. You have to come up with a sweeter reason why someone's going to want the thing. And it's like, that's a simple way to put it.
It's a pretty big deal to me, man. CBDCs are going to nerf all my trips to Thailand. Like, what the fuck am I going to do? Everything will be traceable.
It depends on what you do in Thailand, I guess. What are you, picking up a bunch of ladyboys too, or what?
Absolutely.
Excellent. These days, I heard they go on strike and, like, throw rocks at each other too over there.
You can, Sarji, you can buy ladyboys in Nepal also.
Buy a what?
Ladyboys.
Oh, ladyboys. They have them in Nepal?
Yes, Sarji.
Really?
Yes.
Are any of them watchmen?
Do the lady boys, yes. Do they have like, do they have the whole operations and things, or do they just like tuck everything in, like with special underwear and shit? Like, what are they doing exactly?
I'm sure they, it's probably a mix.
They just use orange in their chest.
Orange? Like yes. The fruit?
Yes, that's just fruit, Saji. It's a pure scam, just like Bikram.
They put like, they cut like the orange in half and stick it in the bra or something?
No. Full orange, Saji, in their blouse.
What does that mean?
Means they will put an orange in their chest and people will think they are women. And they will take you outside and beat you, take your purse and run away.
Oh, they'll take your purse.
That's a scheme, Saji.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for warning us about this. It's like a public service announcement in case you get like attacked by ladyboys. How can Zephyr help though? That's the thing. Like, can you get, so what are you going to do with your Zephyr, Drew? You're going to go to ladyboy country. You're going to pay them to do what exactly in secret?
If I told you, it wouldn't be a secret, Seffy.
I mean, theoretically, let's say you were a tank. What would you like? And you had like secret Zephyr money. You're going to go and you're going to buy what with it in Thailand?
Honestly, nothing's going to happen. I probably would have taken a trip down to like Soy 6, which is not ladyboys. But I am engaged. So
you're going to eat some chicken satay or something down there.
Yeah, exactly.
He will join an orgy, Saji. Orgy.
Definitely orgy? Join orgy. Yes. Jesus Christ. This is not what's happening in Nepal, I don't think, man.
You haven't heard of Nepalese orgies?
Yes, no, Saji.
Like, the people in Nepal are like Buddhists and stuff, man. Like, what are you talking about?
Sir, I born in orgy, Saji. I don't have father, Saji.
Father Saji? What?
No, I don't have any father, Saji. I born in orgy. I don't know which my father, actually. There is many DNA in my body.
You five don't or need... six. Oh, like five or six men went into your mother and made you? Jesus Christ, man. Like, you don't even know what you are. That's some weird shit. Dan, what you up to, man?
Sophie, how are you doing?
Yeah, like, what do you think about this guy, Kancha? He's insane.
I don't know what to say, to be honest. But
he's from Nepal. I know that much.
Listen to him is better than watching TV in the evening. And maybe let me give you a short question. I already asked you, I think, 2 weeks up front, but only to be on the right side. And if I have all of my Cepheus in my wallet currently, if I switch them to a later point of time, if we have a good bull run, for example, to the stablecoin, that is D. And for example, in Germany, we have tax. You need to pay if you hold crypto with your personal tax rate if you hold them less than a year, less than 365 days. So, for example, if I hold my Zephyr for 250 days and for me, I see a top is coming, I want to switch my Zephyr to a stablecoin, then I can also choose ZSD and say afterwards, okay, let's wait until 366 days are over and then I can switch them back to Zephyr. Then nobody is ever...
That's correct.
To identify myself that I did the switch in my own.
Yeah, you've secretly right? Like up to your bag size. Yep.
The only point for me is then if I send them back, for example, to Maxi or somewhere else, switch them to Tether and give them to my bank wallet. For sure, they see the amount of Zephyr is bigger than before. But we can use then. Zephyr
as the other thing, the other trick you can do is you can open a like no KYC account somewhere, like for example
at Safe Trade or Trade Ogre or something like that. And then you can swap, you know, you can either swap Zeph or you can swap ZSD to whatever you want, but just create a brand new account so that it's not tied to your bank or anything. And then you can spend that Tether or whatever you have at all sorts of different locations that, you know, accept basically Tether. That's another way to like use it all, use it up if you want to. So, so you don't, so, need to, in other words, don't even let it go back to your bank ever again. That's even better. So,
yeah, for example, you can, like you explained, you can buy a holiday for via Travala,
yeah, or just get like, just gift cards or, you know, use it for whatever. You'll there's always something you can find to spend it on these days. It's not too hard to find, yeah.
Better than 45%
exactly
for our nice German government.
Yeah, I can tell you this right now, like
only just
whatever goes into my Zephyr wallet is between me and the protocol. That's it. Like nobody fucking knows where it's going.
But if everybody knows this at the end, I think this could be as well a really great reason that also whales and larger accounts try to use or to implement Zephyr in their plans. Only a few people are talking in this space about this protocol. So hopefully,
it's early enough. Like these things take quite a while to spread in terms of like user base and stuff. Like take for example, Thorchain was around for years, and it took quite a while to finally build up. And only in this bull market you see like a really lot more activity. So some of these things just take time to build up. It's fine. It's not a big deal. But at these prices, though, I think you're getting a good, like, decent fair market value for what the protocol is. So for people that are showing up now, you're getting a great deal on the actual price of the token, I think. I bought some at, like, $6, and then I bought some at all the way up to 30 and all the way down to, like, 10 again. And then now it's, like, at 17. So I've only purchased more. I've never actually sold anything for any reason. And I just added to my bags and just kind of built it up. And the goal is just, and then I've been mining it as well. So that's kind of the plan right now.
Maybe one last question. If bigger governments or get the knowledge that you can use the Zephyr wallet, like I already explained, is there a possibility that then other exchanges will delist CSD? Okay, CSD is only listed on really small exchanges, but I think CoinEx and Maxi are the places where you can buy Zephyr as well. But what if Zephyr is delisted on this kind of exchanges? Then, yeah, you only can buy at the end gift cards and make holidays with your money. Because Trade Ogre and Safe Trade, you cannot get your money out.
Again, the less centralized exchanges you have, the more imperative people have to build decentralized ones. So I don't think it's going to be a problem. Like this has been a concern that people have had for, I mean, like truly a decade with Monero, and none of this ever happened. So yeah, I mean, as crypto gets bigger and bigger, are you going to have some countries and stuff block certain types of coins or whatever, whether it's like Europe and with their rules now that they're trying to put out for self-custody, for example. But that just like all of that stuff is going to keep happening. And then what usually happens in tech is people just keep making workarounds. Like there's been rules against movie piracy for well over, you know, 20 years now, and people still use BitTorrent and download whatever the fuck movie they want. So like nobody's ever been able to change any of that. And so anytime there's demand, like the ability to exchange and like, you know, liquidity pools of one type or the other will simply emerge out of somewhere. I wouldn't worry too much about it. But yeah, Zephyr Swap is one that's being built now. If anyone doesn't know what that is, Zeph God just posted up top here in the space, like the USDT to ZSD test swaps have been successful, which is cool. And there's going to be more and more imperative to create these decentralized platforms. And these decentralized ones are quite difficult to shut down, actually, because you can deploy them on like, you can deploy them on like Akash, or you can deploy them on things like Flux network and stuff, and it's really, really tough to disable them in some way. You can also have multiple domain names that you target that, so you can actually keep moving domain names if someone blocks your domain and shit like that. There's always ways to fuck around with this sort of thing. So usually what happens is it's so hard to go after all these things that usually governments and stuff capitulate and they don't bother. Because, like, here's the thing. The source code for Zephyr, if it's open, anybody could create, like, any number of privacy tokens at that point, right? You can create Monero forks to your heart's content. You can create, DEXs. Nobody can prevent you from creating a DEX and deploying it out in space somewhere. So there's always going to be room for these things. And remember, like, even if Zephyr doesn't get to some, it doesn't become 100 billion market cap. Let's say it settles in at 1, 2, 3 billion. It's still very useful to those people in this room. That's the key. So long as it has, I think we're early enough that it's straightforward in terms of, like, just build the utility, build up a bit of a user base, have enough liquidity to be able to do the deed. And it doesn't necessarily have to raise a lot of eyebrows and get too big necessarily to be useful. I think when the market cap was like 120 million, I believe it was in the top, like, is in like the top 500 or top 400 by market cap. So you start getting attention when you get to that size. And I think we'll get there again. And but you're not going to be able to, like, solve for every single regulatory whatever that people create. But at the same time, like, right now, privacy tokens, at least in the United States, are actually usable. Not illegal. In fact, XMR is on Kraken. In fact, if ZephGod, you guys should try to, like, push to get Zephyr onto Kraken as well. That would be a huge boom to this to the number of buyers. But anyway, it'll be fine. But right now we have plenty of options in terms of how to swap our coins and whatever. It's not a big deal.
On the Zephyr roadmap, are there more options open? So currently, everything you explained, this is the main use of the product at the end. Are there more points? What will come in terms of privacy, more features for end users at the end, or if the test swap what? ZephGod already explained in the video, is if this is working continuously, is this then the end product? Okay, we have a good hash rate and everything else, or are they implementing also other privacy stuff?
I think the key thing that I would do for the swap program first is focus on the most common pairing that's going to get the most usage by people. So the Tether ZSD, Tether Zeph, something like that would be probably the most useful. And if you can do it such that it's like the Tether pool is not only paired to ZSD or only paired to Zeph, but maybe somehow you have a way to have that the individual coin pool apply to any of the subcoins, it's better, because, like, obviously the ZSD USDT pairing is going to be there's not going to be as much movement as there will be for Zeph. So probably the Zeph Tether will be the best one to start with, and then build from there. You don't want to, like, fragment the liquidity too much, because most people want to just have one way to get in and out of the thing without, like, and getting out to a non-privacy chain without much friction. That's the key. Whatever system can be done with relatively reasonable fees, without having to deal with a whole lot of extensive expenditures. The only problem with Tether would be that it's a bit of a pain in the ass to use Ethereum in terms of the gas fees. So, is the right thing to do to have Tether, or is it the right thing to have, like, a Tether from a layer two or some shit, like something cheap, like maybe, like a Polygon Tether or some shit like that. Because these things are widely available now on centralized exchanges also. And that might be another way to get money around from a centralized exchange to and from Zephyr. Because I don't know how much, like, actual activity anyway people are going to use their Tether directly on Ethereum for. But those are some, like, choices that have to be made in the background. I don't know if there's a way to create like a pool where you can accept multiple forms of, say, Tether. Let's say, for example, you can accept the Polygon form, the Arbitrum Optimism form, whatever, and it just creates like, you know, a pool where it can swap from one to the other if the pool is running out of money in one of the particular ones. So there's probably ways to do that as well. Anyway, so there's some different tricks you can do to kind of make that work, and where you have enough liquidity. But what you don't want is to have it like broken up into a point where you don't have enough liquidity to service the users. That's the key thing. So one by one, I think.
Really great explanation. And also, last point, really, really great explanation about yesterday in the talk where you explained CCIP and all the chain link facts within the Because of Bitcoin live chat. This was really amazing.
Oh, yeah. Hopefully, and I don't know if it's possible to do like a CCIP version of Zephyr. That could be a really interesting thing. I don't know like if the privacy mechanism of Zephyr makes it possible or not possible to create a non-private version of Zeph that you basically place in a like liquidity pool within the like CCIP ecosystem, and then you could just swap from Zephyr from any CCIP pool in the world. That would solve the problem of figuring out which tether to use and all that shit. A CCIP DEX, I think, would be like the absolute coolest thing, because right now Optimism, Arbitrum, Optimism, Arbitrum, Polygon, those three, and then also there's the WeMix game network, which is South Korean or whatever. There's quite a few things that are connected to CCIP now, so it's quite possible that using that system, you could basically create like an easy way to swap between one and the other, and also that becomes unstoppable. So when CCIP mainnet opens, and the rumor is it's going to open within the next couple of months, general access, you basically can connect any blockchain to it if you just implement the code. Then you don't really have to worry anymore about like, with Zephyr Swap in particular, you wouldn't have to worry if you have CCIP implementation, what version of the coin is coming where, because you'll have canonical assets in the CCIP ecosystem. You can just jump from anything to anything. That's awesome. So like you'll really have usage then, because like if you think about it, if you have a wallet, a privacy wallet, that can basically swap you using the CCIP mechanism from Zephyr to another stable like Tether, and it's a stable version of Tether that is for any of the possible destinations, like for example Polygon, you know, Arbitrum, wherever, then the end user doesn't have to like give a fuck which version they have anymore. And that's the magic of CCIP. So I think that's going to be a huge thing for the entire blockchain space. I have a sense that, just judging from what I've seen so far, I think that chains that don't implement CCIP are fucked. Like, Tank is here. Like, Juno should implement CCIP. Like, because like the thing is, like, whoever comes first to market with those things is going to get the best benefit. But then you don't have to worry about having a fucking IBC channel everywhere and all of that. And as much as we love our IBC, the reality is that like you immediately get liquidity if you have CCIP access, and it doesn't require nearly, like it's much faster to get users essentially. Once people realize, oh, you don't need to have, you know, you don't have to swap from this coin to that coin to this coin to that coin. You can just go straight and the system will sort it out in the background.
Which coin is better? Like Pyth, like P-O-I-T-H, Pyth, and in Chainlink. What is the difference between these two?
Pyth is mainly a Oracle network, whereas Chainlink is an Oracle network plus a cross-chain protocol plus a bunch of other stuff. So it's like right now it's like 8 different applications run on Chainlink. Oracle's is just one that you hear about. Like, but Chainlink is designed to connect literally everything to everything. The global financial system, the banking, the stocks, like everything. Real world assets, you name it. So like, I think it, you know, a couple of years go by, just I've been watching how many things have been added to the Chainlink CCIP system, and they keep coming one by one, week after week. And general access hasn't even been opened yet. And I think the next 5 years is going to be all about like being able to trade easily between your coin and anything else. And if you, and CCIP also solves the problem of not having to use many centralized exchanges anymore, because the end user no longer has all the friction of like getting wallet drains and other bullshit. So you'll be able to swap from whatever chain to whatever chain if you incorporate this, or if your DEX incorporates it. So like, say, for example, Zephyr Swap incorporates CCIP. That would be beautiful, because then any chain that also incorporates it, you can automatically trade. You'd be able to trade essentially your Zephyr coins to any coin within the CCIP ecosystem, if that makes sense. Like, what you do is you have to give some of your treasury, not give, but like you put some of your treasury, let's say it's Juno or Zephyr, you take a portion of the community pool and you take that and you pair it with Link, basically. And within the CCIP ecosystem, it's almost like a liquidity pairing. I think they use like 1% or something like that as a typical general guideline. And the benefit of doing this is that you can convert from your coin to any other coin within CCIP, which is
is that thing? You know the Polkadot is also doing the same thing. So what is the? I mean,
Polkadot's not the same thing. Polkadot is just like you have cross-chain compatibility between their various Polkadot chains, not for every chain in the world. It is different. So what Chainlink is, it's a layer zero. It means it's meant to connect. It's not a blockchain in and of itself. It's meant to connect a bunch of different blockchains together. In fact, behavior-wise, it's a bit more like a centralized exchange, where its behavior is more like a Thor swap kind of thing, if you think of it mentally. It's like a separate layer where you can put liquidity and, you know, coins can move in and out of that. Anyway, but the thing is, like, it could benefit Zephyr in particular to implement something like that, particularly into something like Zephyr Swap. Maybe not the primary chain, but maybe into Zephyr Swap. That could be really useful. And it would be helpful to do that very early, like in the very beginning, not late. Because as all these different protocols get built into Zephyr Swap, if someone says, hey, how do I turn my coins into privacy? I could go to Tornado Cash or some shit, or I could go to Zephyr instead, right? So the beauty of that is that you can basically jump in and out of privacy, no problem. And you can swap in and out of your privacy, like truly within your wallet. Like the beauty of CCIP that people don't understand is like, you don't even need to come to the actual DEX to do it. Like, you know, technically speaking, you'll have like these cross-chain systems, like what do you call it? Routers and things that will take care of that. So, you know, the wallet experience for the end user is they don't even have to realize they're using a swapping mechanism. The swapping mechanism will get the fees and stuff, but that doesn't mean that like the end user has to know what the fuck's going on. So that's the way to go.
How do you feel, Sefi, about like SimpleSwap.io that just like has, you know, 1,200 cryptocurrencies that you can just swap right now and you don't have to register?
I haven't tried that one. It might be good. I'm not sure. Is it like, what is it? What ecosystem is it? Ethereum or?
No, it's just straight up its own. You literally can put in Bitcoin and you get Ethereum out into a wallet. You can put in Ethereum and get AVAX. You can put in Bitcoin.
Okay. Yeah. So what that is, it's probably like an atomic swapping mechanism. It's probably not decentralized. So something like that's usually a centralized system. And which is fine. Like Zephyr Swap's going to be similar to that. If you go one step further, then it goes to like Thor chain, basically. So Thor chain would be the quintessential.
Yeah, Thor chain.
Decentralized system would be that, where it's hard to shut it down. But even that is somewhat centralized now. And because like if the government wants to come and attack the Thor chain people and say, hey, censor this transaction, they have to. So yeah. Because the problem with Thor chain is they're not anonymous, which is like, I think, a mistake from the beginning.
This is just cool because it's like at least a few of them I found, like this one in particular I'm using is just simple swap because it works every time. But it's like there's no sign up. There's no like nothing. You don't have to log in. You don't have to make an account. You don't have to like give fun. Like you just literally swap like you're on any DEX, any coin and swaps it to another coin. It's fucking crazy. So I don't know. I was just throwing that out there for you.
Am I on the wrong site, Ben? Because I'm on their site right now, and they want a login. Like they want me to use my Google or my Facebook to make an account with them.
What country are you in?
I'd rather not say, but I have a VPN on, and it is the same.
I do not even have a VPN on, and it says like right at the front of it, it says sign up is not required. SimpleSwap provides cryptocurrency exchange without registration. Like that's
it's simpleswap.io, right?
Yeah, yeah. There's a few of them. Let me look up a couple more, and I'll get back to you in a second, so we don't hog up the airwaves. But there's a few of them, so I'm sure I'll get.
Some of them are more like some of them are more centralized than others. It just depends.
It's probably just your jurisdiction, but there's multiple ones, so I can get you one real quick.
I can change it to any place in the world. I was using Germany, and it there's like a
somehow the United States is working with no sign up. So,
but yeah, this is a pretty cool website that we should ask them to get Zeph on here too, even though we're gonna have Zeph for swap as well. So that we should be, I'll be using that one as well.
It's just convenient. I used it to bridge onto Base. So like, you know how you need to like, or you don't have to, but like if you bridge Ethereum onto Coinbase, it takes like fucking 5 days like to get over there and like 5 days to get back. Well, you can just swap ETH to ETH Base right here, and like you've bridged, you've qualified for the airdrops and like for everything on Base and done in 1 second. You can just swap it like right back if you want. So I've been like hustling that little game.
Tank, what you up to, man?
Not much, man. I was going to jump in there, but for some reason, I think I can't hear O'Reilly, so I didn't want to cut him off. Man, I just wanted to jump up here and see how you're doing, but I've been on vacation for like 2 weeks here in Florida and just now packing up. Love jumping in on your space, especially when it's about Zeph and Juno and Chainlink. By the way, I do agree with you about Chainlink and Juno. It is in the works. I will be putting up a proposal. I've talked to a couple of people in private about that situation, and sooner hopefully than later that will be something that gets put on chain for people, because I do agree with you. I think that would be a huge benefit on both sides of the fence. But no, man, other than that, I've just been I've been stacking up the mining operation, bud. I've been going ham on it, dude.
How many devices do you have now?
We've totaled up to about 32.
Oh no shit. So these are all parked in miners, like your little warehouse space?
Yeah, I got like a secondary garage, standalone garage. It's all outfitted and stuff like that. I used to use it for ETH mining, but just gonna convert it over. But yeah, we're aiming we've got a whole bunch of 7950Xs, a handful. I think we got like 10.
Have the prices of those come down at all this last few months or no?
No, they're getting harder and harder to come by, dude.
Oh no. Okay.
They're getting hard, and that's so I'm like, fuck it. I'm just gonna swing for it and grab a whole bunch of them.
I bought Windao and the 20 is missing from Juno. Windao.
Windao is wrong, dude. That shit's fucking.
There's a lot of things missing, man.
Yeah, that didn't go well.
Bikram, you just need to buy more.
Yeah, just more Windao, and then eventually you'll unrug us.
Yep.
Bikram's going to unrug everybody. That's funny. Anyway, but no, I think like, Tank, that's what I was saying, like the ability to do, if you can incorporate CCIP, if you can incorporate some way to go in and out of something like a Juno privately, so that like, you know, your trading wallet is essentially obfuscated. And if you can like create some kind of like, I don't know, like trading bots slash, you know, like just basically have ability to trade lots of different assets that are incorporated in CCIP and basically be able to do some bot trading or something, you have yourself like a proper package of like something interesting. I do think there's a role for somebody to create like a CCIP based system for this type of shit. And the beauty of it is you no longer have to worry about figuring out how to incorporate all these different assets, right? So, because the more people
When you first brought it up about Juno, to be honest with you, though, I was like, oh man, you talk about like just the perfect ideal place, a permissionless smart contract. If they were the first ones to take their head out of their ass and actually do that, like it'd be the devil's playground.
Well, Sommelier did it. Like they added CCIP, but I don't know how much like how important it is in the background to the functions that they're putting together. But I think they did it to bring more assets into their ecosystem for their platforms. But I think what people really want in crypto is what? They want to trade shit. They want number go up, and they want assets that they want to hold. Like they don't want assets that are just total BS. A lot of people don't, but I mean like, but the point is by having a lot of credible assets in the CCIP ecosystem, all you have to do is like jump on board and next thing you know, you can use it. And if something like Zephyr, for example, is able to incorporate also, you'd be able to then transfer in things into a bot trading platform that are private, so you don't have all of the various taxable transactions and stuff that people are going to have to worry about, right? So I'm not like, you see where I'm going with this. Like, if you're going to do tons of transactions in a bot trading or DeFi platform, who in the hell wants to figure out how to report all that shit? Nobody. That's the reality. And I think if you have a bridge through something like Zephyr, you know, via CCIP or some other tactic, that would be really powerful. Like, very, very usable for people, like, as far as utility is concerned.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 100%. But no, man, I don't have much time. I just wanted to chime in. I, you know, saw you up here. So
I was going to actually, gang, I got to jump off too. I've got to go take my wife somewhere to dinner, and then I might try to catch up later this evening. But yeah, good catching up, Tank.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
All right, man. I'll talk to you later. Yeah.
Catch up later, too. We'll talk.
Talk to you later, man. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living selling friendship bracelets. Dead ends dragging out the max amount of payments. Red down days, got them acting all bankless. Yo fam, what? Check these tokenomics. They probing this bear, flexing broken honest. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting otters. And then to end a long day, 11 bowls of chronic. Never known the politic, I was born to frolic. It's been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom. Over impossible loss, it's all moss. And I'm liking the odds, fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Flick the cap, yo, the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary fall. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of DNA stacked in non-toxic just to get a better place, smacking on the hostage like the shit is play for keeps. Clowns, white knight, and all these Maybellines, they call it implausible when model after model keeps on ripping off the coat and going full throttle. Beats tearing apart your community, all these low hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity. Got a planet in reach, coming standard to each. I'm on the back 10 stargazing after the siege, commanding all the management to grab a few seats, and then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east. Y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats. Hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets. Yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats, and if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Channel Spaces.